You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Hawkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what am I listening to?
That is Pouring Water, a Drowning Man from James Carr, late 60s. One of nine new inductees to the Mississippi Music Hall of Fame announced this week.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that in just a moment. Before that, a couple NBA stories to get to. One is Oklahoma City makes a deal, trading Josh Giddey to the Chicago Bulls for Alex Caruso. And Sam Presti's explication of what happened is just great. I don't know if you've read it or heard it.
I scanned it. It seems pretty direct and pretty thorough.
It's pretty great. I'm going to read it to the people. When we drafted Josh in 2021, he was an essential aspect of our vision for the next iteration of the Thunder. Since then, our team has evolved rapidly, dynamically, in ways we would never have anticipated. Therefore, as we began our internal discussions this offseason, it was determined that bringing Josh off the bench next season was our best option to maximize his many talents and deploy our team more efficiently over 48 minutes. As we laid out to Josh how he could lean into his strengths and ultimately optimize our current roster and talent, it was hard for him to envision, and conversations turned to him inquiring about potential opportunities elsewhere. Goes on from then. That's what happened. Didn't want to come off the bench. How do you see this trade?
Yeah, I mean, all the things that led to them wanting to bring him off the bench.
Right.
It wasn't that long ago that the general conception of the Thunder was that Josh Giddey was going to be the third star they built around alongside Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren, and the paths crossed. So Jalen Williams became that guy. And when Jalen Williams sort of became that guy, Giddey's sort of skill set, mix of strengths and weaknesses, didn't really fit in the same way. He's not a good shooter.
Right.
And so he needs the ball in his hand a lot. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams are just better. And so, it just wasn't the same fit anymore. And you saw what happened with him in the playoffs in terms of, his role diminishing. So this is a good deal for the Thunder. From the Bulls' standpoint, it really depends on what Josh Giddey is going to become. I mean, he's a younger, bigger player. He's talented. Can they turn him into what people thought he was going to be not that long ago? And so a lot of people are clowning the Bulls right now. But I don't know. It depends on what's going to happen going forward with Josh Giddey. Alex Caruso, I think, has one more year left in his deal. He's a really good player, but he is a middle of your rotation. He's like a great fourth, fifth guy kind of player. And so, like, they're taking a gamble that they can get Josh Giddey back on track. And it's not, I don't know whether that'll work or not, but it's not the worst thing to do for a team in their situation.
No, I think given how stuck they have been in not knowing what they want to do, and the argument is you should have gotten more. So whatever. Should they have gotten a draft pick too? Sure. But it feels like they're finally picking a direction. Now they got things to sort out with DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and everything else. Are they building around Kobe White and Josh Giddey now? Like, we don't. But I don't actually fault them for this deal at all. What good does an Alex Caruso do them, really, except winning five more games, you know?
You know, they're trying to, like, gamble a little bit on some on young talent, and it seems like that is the right thing for them to do, to your point. You know, let's try to clear the Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Nikola Vucevic trio did not work in Chicago. They still have all three of them. It's time for them to try to clear that out and start over with something new. And if that's Josh Giddey and Kobe White and the 12th pick in this draft, that is not exactly the lift of a driving dream starting point, but it's something, you know?
Right. In terms of Oklahoma City, I do think it makes them at least immediately – I mean, I saw someone analogizing them to the Celtics a little bit with Lou Dort and Jalen Williams and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Cason Wallace and – you know, and then now you add Alex Caruso to the mix. They got a lot of guys who can guard.
It's very similar. They're a little bit smaller, generally, not at every position, but generally that makes them a little bit smaller than I think Dort is very strong, but length-wise, I think Dort, Jalen Williams is sort of your combo forwards, is a little bit smaller than Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. But it's a similar construction if you put those four sort of perimeter players together. And with the big guy at the back end, in Chet Holmgren versus Kristaps Porzingis, and it's a very similar construction where you're sort of a five-out team, but you have a true big at the middle of it. Everybody's a good defender. Everybody can shoot. Like, it is a very similar construction. Yeah.
I don't know how it impacts what they're going to do with their lottery pick. You know, who knows what'll even be there. I mean, they just don't really need another wing now. You know, like, and that seems to be what'll. And, of course, they may or may not need a, you know, they need bolstering.
Well, they also still have tons of cap space and tons of draft picks. And so, you know, it feels like I was listening to the most nerdy of all podcast situations. I was listening to the Dunked On mock off-season podcast this morning. And they had Paul George going to OKC.
Oh, my God.
To me, I don't think that's what they're going to do. I don't think they're going to try to do that. Maybe I'm wrong, but it doesn't seem that way to me. And so they may just like let that cap space be there to be able to pay all these guys as they start to come up rather than adding huge long-term salary on top of it.
All right, let's see. Grizzlies perspective. There was I don't know where the rumor started. It was more about the another perk up of the let's go get the Houston pick. And this was because Ime Udoka loves Marcus Smart, so could he be?
Yeah, I think somebody from the Athletic wrote this. So this does come from somewhere.
So what do you make of that?
Ime Udoka did coach Marcus Smart. You didn't really finish the rumor for people to know, but it's about the Grizzlies using Marcus Smart to trade up from 9-3 with Houston, presumably to get Donovan Clinton. So. Ime Udoka, the head coach of Houston, did coach Marcus Smart in Boston. Like, that's a real thing. Houston has sent signals, seemingly, that they're interested in adding more veterans to the team. Those two things check out. You would have to, I haven't looked into the details of that, where Houston is relative to the cap, but I think they're close enough. I think you're going to take back commensurate salary if you send out someone like Marcus Smart. And so, like, you know, you're taking back, who knows, Jacques Landale, Jay Shante. You're probably taking back just into the bench kind of guys who add salary. So to me, it like is jumping up from 9-3 worth losing Marcus Smart? I don't know. To me, there's not a crystal clear answer to that. You'd have to give some truth serum to the Grizzlies about how they feel about the Marcus Smart situation and how they feel about it going into next season. I don't think I have an absolute feel for what the truth of that is.
Right. That's an interesting point. You'd have to know, A, how do they feel about Donovan Clingan? I mean, that's presumably who they'd be to get. But the part that I hadn't really contemplated was how do they feel and how does Marcus Smart feel about Marcus Smart? That's the most interesting part of it, really.
I mean, the Marcus Smart thing is sort of compelling right now because, like, he gets traded to Memphis and the whole season falls apart, and then he looks up and the Celtics win the title after he had been in the playoffs with them for, like, 8-9 straight years or whatever. It's kind of an odd spot. And so how do both sides feel about the concept of Marcus Smart in Memphis a year later? I think it could go either way. I think the fundamentals of why they brought him here are still pretty much in place. So they might still feel great about it, but I don't know that.
By the way, we never quite finished off, and I don't need to finish off every name on your list of bigs, but we were going down. You did a piece a week ago on possible bigs the Grizzlies might be interested in, and we had worked our way down through the top eight. There's just a few other names on it that I wanted to ask you about because you hear them every once in a while. One is Clint Capela, who you had at 10.
Yeah, I think if you could just like plop Clint Capela onto the Grizzlies roster, the Grizzlies, you know, I suspect might be interested in that. The problem is he's got a salary for next year of 20-something million. And so, you know, to match salary on that, hey, you move Marcus Smart. I don't think they'd do that to get Clint Capela. You know, do you pair Luke Kennard with maybe a contract you're not as keen on, like John Conchar or Zaire Williams? I think if you've decided you don't want Kennard back for that money and you can't reach another deal with him, that's the scenario where I could see the Grizzlies willing to do that. But at that standpoint, what's Atlanta getting out of it other than, like, exchanging one contract to some other contract? Are they going to want, like, a first-round pick with that? I don't know if you're willing to do that. So it's kind of hard to see the deal.
And then another draftee who we have not talked about extensively on this show, you might have on the podcast with Drew, is Khalil Ware, who's another big. He's not the bulky center, but he's sort of you can imagine the Grizzlies trading down and picking him, right?
Yeah, he's the guy who looks like he's like, you know, the 90th percentile version of Derek Lively. It's that kind of thing. He's not quite, I don't think he's quite as quick and athletic as Derek Lively, the Dallas rookie center from this season. But he is somewhat similar in that he's a long guy who can finish lobs and contest shots at the rim. And he also maybe can shoot a little bit. He shot like 40-something percent from three in college last year, but that's one college season taking like 1.5 a game. So it's not much of a sample. But he's someone who seems like he might be decent at a variety of things instead of great at one thing. It's sort of how much you believe in it. And there have been questions about him in terms of, you know, coachability and effort and that kind of stuff. So you'd have to investigate that. But from a fit standpoint, from a skill set fit standpoint, I could see the Grizzlies have an interest in him. Sure.
Okay, two other non-Grizzly related topics. One is you had a piece in today's Daily Memphian about the film Bike Riders. Before that, what did you think of Donald Sutherland, who died? What did you think of Donald Sutherland as an actor? Did you have any favorite Donald Sutherland films?
Yeah, Don't Look Now comes to mind. It's a movie he made, him and Julie Christie. It's sort of a gothic horror kind of film set in Vienna. Notably has one of the most famous sex scenes in movie history, for good reason. Obviously, he was the original Hawkeye in MASH, Robert right. Altman's MASH. Those are the first two things that come to mind. That and his one gonzo scene in Oliver Stone's JFK, where he like sits Kevin Costner down at a park bench and like explains the entire global conspiracy or whatever to him.
Right.
That was pretty good stuff. Donald Sutherland showcase I really, really dislike is this movie Alex in Wonderland, which is like a super pretentious early 70s movie by Paul Mazursky that is sort of disappeared at this point. But man, I really dislike that. But Sutherland was a really interesting actor, sure.
The New York Times obit mentions the successes and also the notable flops. Like he was in some truly awful, I don't have, that might have been one of them, but there's some truly awful swings he had. But I honestly think, I would say MASH, Ordinary People, Eye of the Needle. He was in Animal House. He was the pot-smoking professor in Animal. Like, he actually,
right.
Yeah, fairly significant figure died yesterday. All right, the new film. Go ahead.
He and Elliot Gould are sort of the co-stars in MASH, and I associate them both with that sort of, you know, weed-drenched, like, 70s counterculture cinema kind of situation.
Right. Bike Riders. Tell me about Bike Riders and the Memphis connection to Bike Riders.
Yeah, this is something I did sort of off the cuff. There's a little Memphis connection there I thought people might be interested in. I wanted to note. So Bike Riders is a new movie by this director, Jeff Nichols, this is his sixth film. He did Mud several years ago with Matthew McConaughey and some other stuff. He's a pretty notable filmmaker. And Bike Riders is a sort of an adaptation of this sort of photojournalism book from the late 60s about Chicago motorcycle, about a Chicago motorcycle club, motorcycle gang. But the real origin of Jeff Nichols, the director, wanting to adapt this book, the connection between the two is Ben Nichols, Jeff Nichols' older brother, who is the lead singer of the Memphis band Lucero. And so Ben Nichols is a big fan of the Bike Riders book and has written multiple songs about it, including a song called Bike Riders that was on a Lucero album in 2005. And Jeff Nichols, sort of his interest in the project came from Ben, from literally coming and hanging out in Memphis at Ben's apartment and seeing the book. And the song, the Lucero song Bike Riders, I believe is going to play over the closing credits of the movie.
Huh. And it opens in Memphis today or yesterday or something. Yeah. Okay. And then finally, you did mention, and we began with a song from the a new inductee to the Memphis Music Hall of Fame. You had a piece about that earlier this week as well. Is there a headliner to this this class? You obviously do vote, right?
I think different people will be a headliner for different other. It sort of depends on your point of view, right? It's sort of a choose your own adventure who you think the headliner
is. Who would you have lobbied? Who you vote in this? Who do you think would you have
I publicly campaigned for James Carr before I was a member of the nominating committee.
Okay.
So I've been pushing James Carr for several years now, and he finally got in. I was not alone in pushing for him. There were a couple other people too. So James Carr to me is he's the most significant Memphis soul singer who did not record for either Stax or High. Everyone knows what Stax is, I think. High Records is the other Memphis soul label, the Al Green label. Those two labels really dominated the Memphis soul scene, but there was stuff happening beyond those two. And James Carr, who recorded for a smaller label called Gold Wax, I think is considered, rightly, the most significant Memphis soul singer outside of the Stax and High spheres. His career was a little more short-lived, partly because of the label issues and partly because he had, I think, some mental health issues and then later on some physical health issues. And so he's considered sort of this great lost figure in Southern soul music. Pete Karolnik has written a lot about him that sort of helped shore up his reputation. But he recorded the original version of The Dark End of the Street, which I think is a candidate for the greatest soul song ever, certainly one of the most covered. But I thought his induction was overdue.
And then who are Rhodes, Chalmers, and Rhodes?
So that's an interesting story. Maybe I'll get into that a little bit more between now and the ceremony. But so if you listen to Al Green records, like listen to Let's Stay Together, and if you listen close, you hear like the backup vocals are very prominent. There's a lot of give and take and a lot of that. A lot of backup vocal sweetening. Al Green's voice is not the only voice you hear. The other voices you hear are a vocal trio called Rhodes, Chalmers, Rhodes, who are all white, by the way. And this is a classic Memphis story. You know, people talk about this in terms of Stax, in terms of, you know, you got these, you know, former country musicians playing with these blues musicians and playing together and sort of this cultural interaction. High Records was a little bit less of that. But Rhodes, Chalmers, Rhodes was like this white vocal trio who are singing backup on all these soul songs from High. And that is who Rhodes, Chalmers, Rhodes is. I believe all three are still alive. Huh. So the two Rhodes are sisters. And one of the sisters for a while was married to the man who's Chalmers. I don't think they're all in Memphis. In fact, I know they're not all in Memphis, but I think they're all still alive. Huh. They all recorded their own stuff in various configurations. There's at least one trio album. There are solo albums. There's like the sisters did stuff together. None of their own recordings like did much commercially. So they are mostly known for their vocal backup work on some of the soul music in the Memphis in the 70s.
And let me ask you about one more. Is it Jazz Fa or Jazzy Fa? Who's that?
I think it's Jazzy Fa. So Jazzy Fa is a second-generation Memphis musical figure. He is the son of James Alexander, who is the bassist for the Barqués. And he is a hip-hop producer. So he grew up in Memphis and got his start in Memphis, but has mostly been based out of Atlanta. But he's a hip-hop producer who's produced, you know, records for various hip-hop artists, Ludacris and T.I., and he's a more of a modern figure.
I see. All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.